Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Robbie.
And we are the hosts of Friends From Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
When you've exhausted your own friends with debates about whether Cap or Tony was right.
Tony, obviously.
Or you're trying to figure out why Thor the Dark World isn't actually that terrible.
Because it's not.
Well, we're here to pick up the slack.
So check out Friends From Work anywhere podcasts are found or visit theffwpodcast.com.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have my good friend Rashad from Rashad Reviews, First Steps for Man, First Steps for Movie Lovers Unite, and Rashad Reviews to review Fantastic Four, First Steps, our First Steps. So welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, man. You with these intros, man, they're always epic. Thanks for inviting me on. Yeah, time to talk some Fantastic Four, not Fan Four Stick. All right.
Exactly.
I think they finally got it right.
I think so, too. They finally got the antidote right, right? The recipe is cooking. I really enjoyed this. I was not sold on the trailers whenever I first saw the trailers. I don't know if you felt the same way on your first initial feelings on it or anything.
Well, you know me. I only usually watch just like the teaser and like the full trailer, then the third trailer. I never watch because they, 9 times out of 10, they give away way too much. But yeah, the first trailer I wasn't 100% sold on, but what got me excited was when I saw the back of Galactus' helmet, and I was like, we're going to actually get Galactus and not a cloud. So I was sold on that. All I needed was Galactus' helmet. I needed nothing else. I am going to see this. Yeah.
For me, it was like I felt like the actors just woke up out of bed and said a couple of lines, and then they went back to bed after the trailer was over with. That's how I felt on my first initial thoughts. I'm like, okay, right, this is just a trailer. I'm going to see 2 trailers and then I'm done because I want to make sure that I'm invested into it. And then as it kept on coming up to, for the event to actually happen for us to see Fantastic Four, you know, I started getting excited. I'm like, okay, I'm excited for this movie now. I'm in it now. I want to see what we have. And my wife's like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to see this or not. I'm not that excited. I said, I'm not that excited either, but there's a curiosity aspect of, is this movie going to be good? And well, man, is it good.
Well, but we got to also about the bad word of mouth that it was getting months before it came out. Like, I don't know about you, but I kept hearing endlessly over and over again, this movie is going to be trash. It's going to be bad. Pedro Pascal, you know, playing Reed Richards is the worst casting of all time. What do they do with Ben Grimm? Like, he's not saying it's clobbering time. He's, like, tasting spaghetti sauce. So I'm getting all these negative things, you know, implanted in my brain that this movie's going to – even though, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm a fan of the Fantastic Four. I'm a fan of the comics. I've consumed so much Fantastic Four media content over the years. Like, I'm intrigued by this movie, but everybody's telling me how bad it's going to be. So now I'm like, well, shit, is it going to be bad? You know, and – here we are.
For me, it's all about, and to quote Brad Pitt from F1, it's just all noise. And for me, I was like, okay, I've heard this same old song and dance. I want to see it for myself. So for me, it was just about the trailers and having that low expectation of it and then going into it with low expectations. And I winded up enjoying it that way.
Yeah.
Versus hearing all that smoke that we heard online and stuff. I said, I want to experience this for myself, and then I'll judge it on that.
Right.
Most of the time you get a bunch of haters just for hating a film for the sake of hating a film. But, you know, I really felt like I was invested into this movie within it. I definitely liked the intro of it. And just letting everybody know before we get started, first 30 minutes is going to be non-spoilers, and then 30 minutes, we're letting all the spoilers fly out. So, you know, whenever we first get invested into this, you remember with Superman that we had that opening scroll, right? With this, I like the fact that we're already invested into these characters and they're giving us the groundwork to work on what this universe is establishing without having to do a scroll. Right. And I like this 1960s futuristic way of actually doing it. It's like an Ed Sullivan introduction to this world that we're about to be introduced. And I love it. It's a sci-fi George Jetson kind of vibe to it. That was really unique with it. And I love it. I'm just eating it up in the 1960s flashbacks of them putting on the suits and stuff. I like that. The whole entire cinematography is really good. Special effects are really good. But what about for you?
Yeah, I mean, even that shot where they had, they like the first issue of the Fantastic Four, the cover, how they brought that seeing the life of them fighting the monster. Like, yeah, I agree. The first 30 minutes, man, like really put us, I mean, not third, first 30 minutes, but the first like opening of the movie really put a smile on my face. Like you said, the retro future, the whole Jetsons thing. Cause yeah, the Fantastic Four are based in the 60s. That's when they was created. So I really felt that the filmmakers did a great job of capturing the spirit of that team in this universe. You know, I'm like, cause with a lot of MCU films, they all feel like they're, you know, there's nothing original about the setting, you know what I'm saying, or the world. It, like every, it all looks kind of looks like copy and paste, you know, but this one I feel like had its own identity as far as the world goes, you know what I mean? And I was just, yeah, I was blown away by how much I enjoyed that opening of this movie, man. I'm like, okay, I think we're going to be in for a hell of a ride.
Same here. Same thing with Pedro Pascal. I feel like he actually embodies Reed Richards, because at first I'm like, I'm not sure if he's going to be playing Pedro or if he's going to be playing Reed Richards, right? I'm like, as soon as he starts talking and as soon as he starts going in with this whole entire deal of him analyzing everything in his head on how to protect the baby and also the Sue as well, and you realize, okay, this is Reed Richards. This is Reed Richards going through every single aspect to try to figure out how to take down Galactus, how to tell the people, hey, look, we failed you. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I'm just going into the aspects of Reed Richards and how I saw this as a live adaptation of the comic book come to life through Pedro Pascal.
Okay, so here's where it gets complicated for me, because I agree with you to a certain extent. Pedro Pascal, I feel, is so overexposed now. The man is in everything.
I agree with you on that.
He's in everything, like from soap commercials to movies to you name it, he's in it. So I thought that he did a good job with what they gave him. And I think Reed Richards was written very authentic to the character in the comics. I'll give him that. I'm like, hold, that's something Reed Richards would do, or that's how he would react to that situation, right? But right. As much as I tried to separate Pedro from Reed, I could, as like, he's Pedro Pascal playing Reed Richards. And even though he did do a good job, I feel like it still was kind of taking me out, because I'm like, I'm watching Pedro Pascal play Reed Richards.
And I just couldn't let it go.
I couldn't let it go, but the way he was written, I thought was perfect, though.
Me too. I feel like the way that he was written was really good. And you're right, though. There is this fatigue, in a sense, of Pedro Pascal playing different characters, because it can actually feel like, oh, he's just playing Pedro Pascal right now. He's not playing Reed Richards or anything. It could feel like a cosplay versus everything else, because it's like, okay, well, let's see here. Let's play his hits. He was good in The Last of Us. Let's put him in there because he was good in The Last of Us. What else was he in? Game of Thrones. People love Pedro Pascal. People were sad. Let's bring him, Pedro Pascal. Yeah, I could definitely see what you're saying with that. Right. I definitely see it from that angle. And
yeah, I mean, no, just him. He's getting that paycheck, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whoever his agent is, man, that guy deserves an MVP trophy, because he's getting them all kinds of work. But, man, I just wish they would have cast somebody else in the role so I could see.
I felt that way, too, whenever I first heard about it.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, you know what? Let me see what he does, and then I'll judge it for that. And if he becomes and embodies Reed Richards, then I'll be like, okay, Pedro is actually invested into this. Because any actor is like, okay, yeah, I'll do it for a paycheck. But you can actually tell that he has that love and care for and respect for the character. Where I'm like, okay, he understands the assignment, right? So I'm like, I'm okay with it.
I mean, like I said, it's no diss to him. I'm not saying that he did terrible or nothing like that. It's just I just kept seeing that's Pedro Pascal. That's not Reed Richards.
Kind of like with Brad Pitt from F1, right? Where I'm actually trying to think that he's actually that character, but instead he's just playing Brad Pitt. I gotcha.
Well, I kept seeing Cliff Booth. I'm like, dog, he's Cliff Booth, but in a race car movie.
Right. I gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we have Vanessa Kirby as Storm, which I think that she did really good with it. A matter of fact, Tamika and I were both talking about this the other day about how, remember the early 2000s Sue Storm, right?
Just got over here.
And you remember how one-layered, one-dimensional she was with her, even with her powers. It's like, what do? I turn invisible. What else do you do? I do a force field. I shield people. And that's what else you do. That's it. Mm-hmm. Second movie. What do? I'm invisible. I have a force field.
And I have a bad wig.
Yep, and that's it.
that god-awful wig in the second movie. Oh my god. It looked like a hair helmet or something. Like, because if you notice, like the hair, it was just like on her head, didn't move.
Exactly, man. But yeah. I just feel like that she actually embodies Sue Storm. You can definitely, and I also like it too, where the where she's pregnant and she's a superhero, and I'm like, okay, if you're a superhero and you're pregnant, that's not good.
Right.
That's like signing up for Squid Game and you're pregnant and playing Squid Game. You being a superhero and you're pregnant and it has that vulnerability of, you know, Reed now has to worry about the world on his shoulders, just as he has to worry about Sue being pregnant. And has that danger element to it. And I love how they play into the danger of it. And we'll get into that 30 minutes when we do the spoiler talk. But I do really feel like there's that danger of this baby can be give birth at any moment. When they're fighting somebody, what do they do in that moment? So there's that fearfulness of that. There's also this courageous aspect of Sue talking to the people. And trying to understand it from a mother's care, a mother's love, and we'll get into that later too. But I love the layers that they gave her for Vanessa Kirby. I think she knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby, I said this in another stream, bro. I feel like she was the MVP of this movie. She not only looks the part of Sue Storm, but man, did she play the hell out of that part, man. She was my favorite out of all four of them, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, she... Like, I'm like, that's Sue Storm. That's the Sue Storm that I know. And she was badass, vulnerable. You know, like, you believed that she was a mother. You know what I mean? And especially as compared to Jessica Alba, you know, she really and captured that character. So, yeah, Vanessa Kirby, like, killed it in that role.
I agree. I loved her performance. And then we have Joseph Quinn with Johnny Storm. And I was kind of worried, I'm like, about him because I wasn't so sure. But I thought for sure that they were going to go ahead and change his character up to match with this generation's of what Johnny Storm would be. But no, they ended up playing into the Playboy aspect of who he is and stuff. For me, it works. I don't, but I know maybe for you it doesn't. But, you know, I'm just eating my popcorn, shoving popcorn in my face, geeking out, having fun. And I'm enjoying this, but I think some people might need to see a little bit more of him to see you be totally sold on him. But for me, I think that he does a pretty decent job at playing him. But what about for you?
I guess my face really told it all, right?
Right. Yeah, the RBF. What can I say?
Oh boy, Johnny Storm. Man, once again, no diss to the actor. I really liked him in Stranger Things. He's not Johnny Storm. You know, okay, the Johnny Storm that I know is the way Chris Evans played him. All right. He's a douche. He's arrogant. He's a womanizer. He's a rebel. Okay. He's the fun character of the group, because if you look at the Fantastic Four, they're all kind of, you know, stuck up, you know what I'm saying, besides Ben Grimm. But Sue and Reed are not very interesting or exciting characters. You know what I'm saying? One's a nerd, one's a mom. Johnny is like the Han Solo of the group. You know what I'm saying? He's the cool guy. He's the guy that the guys want to be like, and he's the dude that all the girls want to be with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be that. If I want to be anybody from the Fantastic Four, I want to be that guy. Joseph Quinn, his Johnny Storm was a dork. You know, nothing about him said cool. You know what I mean? even when they try to sell the fact that him and Lady Surfer was having, you know, some kind of thing going on, you know what I mean? Even then, it's like, it was nothing.
I can see
like,
that.
He had no
reason. I can see that. It's like, are you having any sexual feelings for her? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. The Johnny Storm that we know of was like, yeah, I have a thing for her. What you got?
Chris Evans, like, I wish they could have took, okay, as bad as those movies may be to some people, I wish we could have took Chris Evans, Johnny Storm, and the way Michael Chiklis played Ben Grimm, and put it into this movie, and I think we would have had the definitive Fantastic Four movie. But yeah, Johnny was a dork. He was a nerd, man.
So do you think that basically they basically got Eddie as Johnny Storm in a sense? Because he's over there with his records and recording everything that the Silver Surfer is saying?
Exactly. Like, even the banter between him and Ben, like, I see they were trying to do the, you know, Johnny and Ben, how they... But I wasn't buying it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess they sold it like they were friends, but Johnny and Ben are like always clashing. They're always going at it. Like, they're like those brothers that love each other, but they're always fighting and
smack talking each other.
They're smack talking each other. You know what I mean? And I really didn't get that here. So yeah, I was not a fan of Johnny in this movie. He was my least favorite character. And even watching the second time, because first time I went to see it by myself, and the second time I saw it with my kids. And the second time, I guess he kind of grew on me a little bit. You know, I'm like, okay, I guess. I'll go with it, but still, Chris Evans is my Johnny Storm.
Sure. He'll always be mine, to be honest with you.
Right.
And I guess that for me, it's like, okay, well, this is what you're giving me. I'll go with the ride for it. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel like that this is Johnny Storm for this generation.
Right.
You know, right. Because we always do this. Everybody has their own Batman for the generation that they grew up in. This is going to be somebody else's Johnny Storm. And, you know, and right. I do feel like that maybe they should have cast Chris Evans since we got Robert Downey Jr. back as Dr. Doom. Why not recast and put him in this one, unless they have plans for Steve Rogers? But still.
Right.
You know, but still, that would have been cool. But I'm okay with it for Joseph Quinn. But yeah, I do agree though. He should have played it cool. Like, yeah, I'm into the Silver Surfer.
Right.
You see him hitting on her. Hey, so do you ride around on your surfboard all the time, or what? Or do you come with it?
Yeah, it's like her body is not connected to the surfboard. I'm like, dude, why are you a nerd? Stop.
And he's over there analyzing records too.
Yeah, you're supposed to be an inspiration to us nerds to be cool, man. Like us nerds are cooler than him. Stop.
But I get it. I get it though.
Yeah.
So let's talk about. Okay, so now let's talk about Ben Grimm. So are you sold on Ben as far as that goes, or what do you think?
I was sold on the look. Okay, now the look is comic accurate. The look. I loved it. Now, I see what they were trying to do where they say, okay, in the cartoon and the comic, this is, you know, this is his persona. But in real life, this is how Ben Grimm would actually be. So it's almost like a behind the scenes kind of thing. Like, okay, this is the real Ben Grimm. You know, he's calm. He's collected. He loves to cook. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yeah, but I don't like that. I like my Ben Grimm with that rough New York accent, you know, talking trash, not scared to fight anybody. You know, because my son asked me, he was like, did he ever fight the Hulk? I said, did they? I said, Ben Grimm and the Hulk have had many fights. And 9 times out of 10, Hulk will beat the shit out of him. But the thing that I love about Ben Grimm is that he's not afraid. He don't care if you can beat him. He will fight you. He will fight anybody. He has no fear. And this, I'm like, Ben Grimm here was too civilized.
He's kind of reserved. More reserved.
Reserved, more civilized, and wearing the clothes and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, even when they try to get him to say the punchline, I'm like, dude, that's your line. Like, just like Hulk Smash, your line is, it's clobbering time. And we get, it's clobbering time.
So you didn't feel anything from him either.
Nah, I didn't. But I love the look. Okay, I love the look.
The look is great.
Well, in the intro, the montage where they showed them in action, I was loving all that, you know. But then after that, it was just like,
I gotcha. Yeah. And I do wish I would have actually brought in the New York accent now that you're mentioning it, because I would have actually gave him, even if he's more reserved, you can be reserved, but also have that New York toughness to his voice to emulate that. So that's something I wish they would actually brought to the table. As far as that goes.
Yeah, because being a New Yorker, bro, New Yorkers just have a certain just doucheness about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, majority of New Yorkers are assholes. You know what I'm saying?
And exactly. They got that strong New York, Queens, Manhattan kind of vibe.
Trump has that. You know, I think that's why Trump rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Well, for more reasons than one. But one of the things that rubs people wrong about Trump is that he has that New York bravado about him, you know, and that's not for everybody.
You see, I'm originally from Boston, but I do know even people from Boston also has that same thing too. Don't talk shit about our Red Sox or anything either.
I was about to say, back in the day, you and me probably would have been enemies, man, because I was TVA.
We don't talk about baseball. We'll just talk about movies and we'll be good to go.
For sure, for sure. Yeah,
but man, I do agree with you. I wish they would actually put a little bit more roughness into his voice for that. And then the only time that he's actually vulnerable, if you think about it, with Thing, is whenever he's with a girl. That's when his shield comes down. So I think that they would have done a better job of showing his toughness in front of his friends. And then when he goes over to that orphanage, then bring it down and have that vulnerability. So
yeah, I thought that was missing too, how his insecurities about his looks, which is a thing in the comics. This is, even the first two movies did that, where they show that Ben hated the way he looked, and he was real, you felt bad for him, and they just had one moment in this movie like that, where you just had that one brief little moment, which is also in the trailer, where he looks at the TV and he sees himself in human form, then the TV goes black, and he kind of looks like, and that was like our moment, but that's it, that's all you got.
I do agree with you. Yeah. Like, I was eating my popcorn. I was liking what I was getting. But the clobbering time thing, I wish they would have actually let him say it.
Yeah.
I get the fact that they're trying to do a jokey type of thing between the cartoon, and maybe because the cartoon is cringy for him because he doesn't like to see himself in that kind of way because of the cartoon. Because, oh, that's corny. I'm not going to say it. And then you have the kids even at the orphanage wants him to say it.
It was reminiscent of when Hulk saw himself in Endgame, where he saw him like smashing, and he was like, I'm like, no, dude, that's where we liked you.
Right.
I like you. I don't like this version of you. No, you're cringe right now.
Exactly. I wish it would bring that back.
Right.
As far as Hulk smashed.
Yeah.
That works. Same thing with Thing. It's clobbering time.
Right.
You need to say your punchline. That is your punchline.
Right.
And I get the fact that they want to have that between Johnny and him, but even then it's like, it's clobbering time. I'm like,
yeah.
It's like he wrote, what? Now that part did look like he woke up out of bed. And Thing was like, you know what? I'm not going to say it.
Right.
Okay. It's clobbering time. It's clobbering time. Johnny, let's go.
Look, and every Ben Grimm fan did this. Oh, that is so bad.
Love the look of him. I do think that the look of Thing looks really good.
Right.
I have nothing really negative to really say about him other than the things that we just said.
Yeah. Well, and also the CG, some of the CG on him was a little blotchy. It did look
like Halloween Town, like Halloween City, where you get your mask and stuff from. Some of it does look, but still, other than that, though, the visuals still look good and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about Galactus, and then after this we'll talk about, by then we should be over into spoiler territory. But I thought Galactus looks threatening. I thought he looked menacing. I don't want to mess with this god or anything. I don't want to go up to space and try to make a deal with him. You're gonna destroy my world. I'm getting the hell on out of here. You know what I'm saying? I just thought he was the most threatening part of this movie. He's actually the most threatening part of this new MCU that we got. I love the setup of him. I love this being that's going to come to Earth. We don't know what he looks like. Nobody knows if Fantastic Four can stop him, this godlike being. And we're going to get into the fact that I thought they were going to fail, at the very end. But we'll talk about that later. But as far as the initial setup goes, I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
And the look is just straight out of the comics.
Dog, I ain't gonna lie, man. I got emotional seeing Galactus for the first time because as a kid, I always wondered how Galactus would look in a movie. And mind you, I grew up in the 80s, so I never thought it was even possible to even have him in a movie and look how he looks on the page.
Anatomically correct, right?
Right. So, and mind you, I didn't see this in Dolby or IMAX because my Dolby and IMAX showings were like full. So I had to see this regular, but the screen was still pretty big. And Galactus was terrifying. He was terrifying, dog. Like when just him sitting there and the eyes glowing, you know what I mean? And when he stood up, the second time I watched it with my son and my daughter, and when he stood up, my son said, he was sitting down that whole time. And when he got up, he was like, that guy is massive.
Right? It's like sitting down with Thanos, because remember when Thanos is sitting down? Okay, he's not that menacing. Then all of a sudden you see him stand up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, snap. Okay.
Whole different ball game. There's something. Yeah.
But even with Galactus sitting down, you have this massive face, and you don't know that he's sitting down, but you can actually tell that he's actually hovering over anybody that sees him.
Right, right.
And he has that dominance about him of like, you need to bow down to me, or you're going to end up dealing with me.
So, yeah. I think that they nailed Galactus perfectly, man, from the look, the voice, you know. And I heard a lot of the stuff was practical that they did with him. You know, like, it was mostly practical. And you could tell because I'm like, I'm looking like, okay, that looks kind of CG, but then it doesn't. And then when I found that it was practical, I said, oh, snap. They did, yeah. So, yeah, Galactus and Sue Storm were, like, the two highlights of this film.
Same. Easily. I think Galactus was fantastic. And I also grew up in the 80s as well. Like, I was in 85. So, right. I actually watched the cartoons of Fantastic Four. I also read the comic books of Fantastic Four and remembering how massive he is, but compare, and it's like copy and paste from the comic books, right? It's like, how can they make this that?
Right.
And it's cut and paste from the comic books. I love how massive he looks. I love it. I was eating it up the whole entire time with that.
Right.
I also want to piss my pants at the same time because I'm scared. But
but there is a but, and I'm saving that for the spoilers, okay? So I'm giving Galactus his flowers, but there's a but.
Okay. Does it also go with buffer?
Yeah. Exactly.
But, okay. But, so all right. I know we're 26 minutes in, but it's actually close enough to do the spoiler talk.
Okay.
Because I think that we nailed everything that we want to talk about as far as first impressions go, casting goes.
Well, there's a character we forgot to. There's two characters we forgot to mention. Mole Man, played by Stingray. Okay. I was happy to see him, but my son was like, "Cobra Kai." I said, "Yeah, that's Stingray."
And my wife looked at me. And she goes, "Hey, that's Stingray and Cobra Kai." I said, "No, right? It's cool."
Yeah, yeah. Which is, it's funny how they used him because he was. I think he was like the first villain that they ever went up against, and so the fact that he kind of used him here almost like as comic relief. You know, I thought it was kind of funny. And the mention of the other Fantastic Four villains, I thought was pretty cool, too. Like, they mentioned Puppet Master. They mentioned, I forgot. A bunch of the other ones, yeah. But also, we forgot to mention Franklin, the CGI baby.
Yep. How could we forget about Franklin?
The CG baby, man. There were times where I'm like, okay, he's cute. But then when he would, like, try to move and stuff, it looked weird.
It looked like he was trying to break dance or something in his grip or something, right?
Yeah.
Especially when the robot actually puts him in his little carrying thing.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm like, well, I said, well, why don't you just use a real baby? But I guess I get it. You know, you don't want to put a real baby in action like that. But yes. So there was some shots where Franklin looked really weird. But it was still a cute baby, though. You know,
it was a cute baby.
Marvel baby Jesus, right?
Right. But you know what, though? I like the fact that they mentioned the villains in this universe, though. Mm-hmm. Like little small nods to the comics so that we, us as who read the comics, can geek out. Right. But also be like, okay, so these villains are in this world. So maybe someday we'll get those villains and we get to see them come to life.
Exactly.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, because when they mentioned Puppet Master, first thing I thought of was, okay, so that means Alicia has to be in this universe. I thought we were going to see Alicia, you know, Ben's girlfriend, right. You know what I'm saying? Because that's Puppet Master's daughter. But, we didn't get her this time. We got Natasha Lyonne for some reason.
Right, but, someone from an orphanage. Because Ben loves kids. And
right.
Also, you know what, though? That orphanage scenes, remember that movie The Babe with John Goodman?
I never watched The Babe.
You haven't? It reminds me of that.
Okay.
To be honest with you. Like, it reminds me of The Babe for some reason. Because of the 1960s look, but it's also 1930s Babe Ruth.
Right.
But there's a scene where he's in the orphanage because he actually comes from an orphanage. He was an orphan. A scene where as an adult, he goes back to an orphanage and he's actually talking to the kids from the gates. Oh. Just as Ben is talking to them. So it kind of reminds me of that.
Okay. It was probably playing homage to it.
Probably because of the time period and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's go on ahead. Let's get into some spoiler stuff, guys. So, let's see. So, What else did you want to talk about as far as spoilers go? I'll let you open it up.
Spoilers? Okay. Well, so since we ended up with Galactus, let's start the spoilers with Galactus. Or maybe am I jumping too far ahead?
No, we can jump around if you want
Jump around? Okay. So I had to give Galactus his flowers because, which is goes into one of my negatives of this movie, was how easily Galactus was defeated. I hated that, bro. I mean, I know it's okay. Well, what else were they going to do? You know, I don't know. I'm not a writer, but do something. Like the fact that Galactus is an Avengers level threat. All right. On the same level as Thanos, even more probably because he's a celestial. You know what I mean? The fact that Sue Storm by herself, you know, full power. I don't care if she's full powered. Full powered Sue Storm by herself should not be able to defeat this thing that takes all of the Avengers, all the Marvel Universe, to beat Sue Storm by herself while Reed is saving the baby. Well, Ben is knocking out pillars to knock down a building that Galactus is hanging on. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, I was so disappointed in that, how easily Galactus went out.
You see, for me, I was like, okay, I get it. It's the mother of the whole entire deal of like, okay, it's a mother's love for a child. Right. And using all of her power, all of her will to actually keep her baby alive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I got out of it. And it drained her so much to where it killed her.
Yeah.
So that's what I got. So I was sold on that. And I also felt like, you know, I wish that they would have actually showed them feel at the end versus them, you know, celebrating the fact that they got him in a black hole.
Okay, so a friend of mine actually had he had his own kind of not theory, but like how he envisioned the movie ending. I'm like, if they would have did that, that would have been perfect. So, like you said, they lose to him, right? They lose to Galactus.
Because I was thinking this is my head, and I'll tell you how it played out, and then you can tell me his theory too, and see how close they are. My theory was this: shit goes down. Galactus is destroying stuff. He's killing everybody in the city. That only leaves one thing. Sue and everybody has to get out of there. So therefore, they fly out into space. And then, guess what? Thunder.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Bolt sees them out in the atmosphere into their world because they ended up using warp speed to get them out of that situation. Right. Now they're in the 616 universe, and that's how we see them.
That's it. That's exactly what he said. Yeah.
Because that's how I thought it was going to go. Mm-hmm. Because I'd rather see them take down this godlike being.
Right.
And fail at it to show some vulnerability, and when they finally get to our world in the 616 universe, it's like, look, we got our ass kicked by this giant god named Galactus. Right. Our city is destroyed. Everything that we knew and love is gone. Everybody gave up on us because that would put them losing two rounds, right? Because remember, in the first round, it's like they go on ahead, they try to make a deal with Galactus. They're like, well, I want your baby. Because I want him to be the next Galactus so I can retire.
Right.
So they go back to Earth. What's your plan? We don't have a plan.
Yeah.
Guess what? They lost round one. They don't have a plan. Round two is them setting up those things so that way they can take that Earth and shift it to another atmosphere. They lose that part.
Right.
Then the final act is them with Galactus destroying everything.
Right.
That's the way I thought it was going to play out.
That's the way it should have been. Because it shows Galactus' dominance. The fact that you couldn't beat him in this movie shows his dominance. So when he appears in the next movie, how are we going to beat this guy? You know, the fact that you defeated him in the first movie, when we see him again, it's not going to have that same, you know, oomph. Like, you know, he doesn't have that dominance anymore. You know, like with Thanos, it took, what, 3 or 4 movies to finally beat him?
Right.
You know, and the way he was introduced in Infinity War, I thought was perfect because, okay, here we're presented this threat. He bodies the Hulk. Okay, they had to sacrifice my boy the Hulk to show how, how strong Thanos was, right? And then when Hulk crash lands on Earth, you know, Thanos is coming. How are we going to beat him? And then they don't in Infinity War. They don't beat him.
Right.
So now as an audience, we're waiting like, how the fuck are they going to defeat this thing? So when you look at Galactus, you should think nothing but how it's going to take everybody in the Marvel.
It's time to assemble the new Avengers. It's time to assemble everybody
everybody.
And bring out the playbook.
Yes. That's the way I thought they were going to go. So the fact that Sue did that dolo, I'm like, you just took away his invincibility, man, by doing that. Like I said, I understand what you're saying about the protective mother thing, and that's cool, but we're talking about Galactus.
You know, I understand.
She could do that to the mole man or puppet master, but we're talking about Galactus, you know.
Right, a god.
A god. Yo, when he jumped in the water and when he got out, I was like, oh shit, it's about to go down. And then when he started walking, I'm like, why they got him walking like giant man in the airport scene? He was moving extremely slow.
He looked like a damn Transformer.
He looked like a Transformer. I'm like, dog, man, like Godzilla. I'm thinking, okay, he's like kaiju size. Godzilla will mop the floor with him the way he's moving.
He's walking very slowly.
Very slowly. Get to where,
and then when we finally get him up to where that thing is supposed to go ahead and shift the planet.
Right.
He's like, okay. Then all of a sudden turned into Terminator. It's like, oh, wait. The baby's not in there. And he takes a U-turn and goes even slower to that building.
If that's
your go-to, you need to get your big ass over there and start wrecking stuff to get to that baby.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of every, because I love the character so much, bro. I was trying so hard to give the benefit of the doubt. I said, maybe they are doing an Infinity War here because what separated Infinity War Thanos and Endgame Thanos is that Endgame Thanos, he was trying to kill the Avengers. All right, Thanos was out for blood in an Endgame, where in Infinity War, he was not out for blood. He just wanted to get the stones. And then if you got in his way, he would pimp slap you out the way. But Thanos really wasn't trying to. So that's why that whole battle on, when he fought Stark and, you know, and Quill, he wasn't trying to. He wasn't really trying. He just, look, I just want to get the stones, just get y'all out of my way. But in game, like, you really saw how menacing he was. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're doing that with Galactus, where he's really not trying to cause destruction. He just wants to get the baby. I was trying to think that, but still, I'm like, I hated the way he went out.
Me too. But at the same time, though, I think they can put him in Doomsday.
Yeah.
I think you can make it work in Doomsday. And who knows? We can actually go back to Fantastic Four after Doomsday and say, hey, look. Mm-hmm. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we misjudged it. Maybe, you know, all the faults that we have in this film lead up to what's happening in Doomsday, and be like, hey, look, Dr. Doom winds up controlling Galactus to where he is even more threatening than what he was in this one. Because he's
Go ahead. I mean to cut you off.
Go on ahead.
Oh, no, so I think that actually happened, bro. If I can remember, I think there was a comic I read where Doom did, because Doom is like a master manipulator. The guy is just like, he's got the gift of gab. So I think something did happen where he did manipulate Galactus, and it caused him to like lose his, not lose all his powers, but it weakened him, you know, and all his heralds turned on him, you know what I mean? And he had to work with the Fantastic Four to defeat Doom and help get him back to, because I think Doom's going to kill Galactus. And so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I got this right, but after they finally defeated Doom, Galactus made a deal with Reed Richards, like, look, man, because you helped save my life, I'm going to spare Earth, but don't get it twisted. I still don't fuck with you, but, you know,
Earth is saved.
Yeah, it's a level of respect. Yeah. I think I got that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's talk about this other thing, though, too, because I wanted to get your thoughts on this. What did you think about the fact that, okay, they're in space, and I love the visuals in space. I thought the visuals in space looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Silver Surfer and Johnny talking, and then you have it to where now they have to make a deal with Galactus to not destroy the Earth, and then in order to do that, they have to give the baby up.
Right.
And I'm like, oh God, how do you go about trying to do this and try to save Earth? I'm like, look, I'm sorry, but I'm not giving up my kid.
Right, right.
I don't blame Sue. I don't blame them. And then all of a sudden, you see Galactus shooting her with his pregnancy beam. Mm-hmm. To basically push the baby out.
Right, right, right.
Quote my friend Alex.
Labor inducing.
Right? It's like, okay, yeah. Well, if Silver Surfer ain't going to go ahead and get this baby out,
right.
I guess I'm going to have to do it. So I'm going to force this baby out of you. But it's just horrifying, too, to see Sue have to go up to being pregnant in space right. to make a deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bargaining with a god like that,
right?
That was the scene that was gonna that made me piss my pants.
Mm-hmm.
In the theater.
Agree. Well, I have a question about this. Why did Reed even tell the people what? Because think about it. If you would have lied, who the hell would have known? You know what I'm saying? Like he could have made anything. Yeah, he could have made anything up. So what does he want? Well, he wants our baby. You tell if I was Ben Grimm, why the fuck would you tell them that? You should have said, "Yo, Galactus is coming. We have to stop him." You know what? Like, why throw the baby in there?
Right, because then it makes the baby the target for those right. people to come in. Because we've seen them at the remember when they're overlooking everything, and mm-hmm. you have that scene where Ben and Reed is like, "Well, we're okay. We're safe up here."
Right,
and you see them over there trying to attack them. And I think you need to have that moment, though, too, in a sense, because if it wasn't for that moment, we wouldn't have Sue going down there making that right, great speech.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, I was with you at that moment, though. I was like, could he lie his ass off and get mm-hmm. away with it? But right. also, too, how fast is Galactus moving to where he can lie his ass off?
And right.
You know, too. So I'm like, is this going to be a Thanos situation where it's like, you know what? Galactus said he was going to attack anybody. Mm. Or, you know, and all of a sudden right. Galactus just shows up. Or right. we need to prepare everybody. We need to leave. He doesn't want to make a deal with anybody.
Yeah.
And
yeah. While at the same time solving the problem, being Reed Richards, doing what you're doing. But the whole thing about him wanting to like either Earth or the baby, like Bray should have kept that to yourself. You know, I wouldn't have exposed that. I mean, maybe I'm an asshole for that. I don't know.
Well, it does put the baby as a marker.
Right.
Though too, it's also protecting your kid
mm-hmm.
as well. So you're also, but also too, Reed is so smart.
Right.
He doesn't even see the long angle game of what he could do
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the simplest things that we do, we overreact on. So imagine right. him as a father, because yeah. remember this, he doesn't, at that moment, whenever they're at the dinner table, you know, they're trying to keep a lid on the fact that she's even pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But then and it starts becoming.
Yeah, you can't right. sell it. Yeah.
So it's like that anxiety of like, I have a kid, I have a baby, mm-hmm. I need to protect that baby. But how do I go about doing it?
Oh, excuse me. Thank
but
you.
How do I go about?
I'm gonna have to sniffle. So if you see me sniffling a lot, I'm sorry. I got like a little.
Nah, you're good, dude.
Thing going on.
But yeah. you know, it's just the anxiety of it. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't think he's actually thinking clearly of it either, because of the fact that you know. He's a first-time father. He's not thinking clearly. He's not thinking right. straight.
Right.
And all he knows is this giant Galactus is going to come after his kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that moment where Sue's like, you know what? You guys are a bunch of cowards. I'm going to go now. You're trying your asses off. I'm glad you are.
Right.
But you're not helping the situation. Mm-hmm. So hearing it from a mother's love and a mother's perspective,
yeah.
the crowd ends up being with them.
Yeah, no, it was a good moment. It was a good moment. And also, too, when Sue was getting on Reed about, like, she's like, wait a minute, you thought about this, didn't you? You thought about, you know, mm-hmm. he's like, well, I have to. Like, I have to play every worst-case scenario so I can solve the problem. Like, that's what I do. And she's like, yeah, but you're thinking about giving our baby to this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Right.
I wasn't going to do it. How many of us as guys, right, we're thinking right. something and our spouse actually knows what we're thinking?
Knows what we're thinking,
and yeah. we're even in more trouble for thinking that situation, that scenario, right. than we are on acting it.
Right.
And that's the same
right.
way with Reed. He's like, well, I wasn't going to do it. Because, yeah, but you were thinking
but you
it.
Thought it. Like, that, right. that's so unfair because when women do that joke, man, they're like, you was thinking it wasn't, yeah, but I wasn't gonna. And now you're in the doghouse.
Exactly. You know? And now you're sleeping on the couch.
Right, right.
That scene from the post-credit scene I heard was supposed to jump into Doomsday.
Mm.
And I'm like, how is that going to connect into Doomsday?
Right.
Because unless it's like the fact that Galactus is back and now... and going to try and destroy the city again, in which they survived.
Mm-hmm.
And now they need to go on ahead and get all these, assemble everybody into their city.
Right.
That'd be the only way that I could think of for this doomsday to happen. Because it's doomsday for them, not doomsday for 616.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Yeah, because I think about where was because I know you noticed how when they was doing when they were in the what you call it, and they was, you know, going through all the countries. You saw Doom's country, and he wasn't sitting there. So what do you think Doom was at that time?
I don't know. What do you think?
I have no idea. I don't even know if they're going to explain that, but I'm like, okay, that's Doom's seat, but Doom is not there. So where is he?
I think he was over there with the baby. Like, I think.
So you think that was that Earth's Doom and not Earth's 616?
That's what I'm thinking, because I'm thinking that they're going to try and get rid of the 616 altogether.
Okay. Okay.
Which I would love for them just to go ahead and get rid of the 616 stuff and the multiverse stuff. Mm-hmm. This is not working.
Right.
So I'm thinking that when we see Doom seed, and he's not there. I think he's there with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that post-credits scene, by the way, because I was like, I wish they would actually shown Robert Downey Jr.'s face.
That's what I thought they were going to do, yeah.
But at the same time, though, I was like, I don't. Because of the simple fact is, the mask... Him holding the mask is just as horrifying as seeing his face. You know that's Doom.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
And you have that horror movie aspect, sci-fi aspect of it, of like, okay, you defeated this god. Now here I am, and I want to steal this baby for my own personal gain now.
Right.
And it kind of has like that horror movie sci-fi kind of feel to it, which I love. The simple things to me is the easiest things for me. You know what I'm saying?
You know, yeah, I can agree with that. And then plus, you know, it won't have the same impact if they would show his face then as compared to when you finally reveal him
right.
the first time in Doomsday. You know, dun, 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 here he is. RDJ is Doom, you know.
Exactly. I want that impact. I don't want to see RDJ's face in there right now. And I think it's actually perfect. As far as spoilers go, I'm trying to think if there's like anything else that we need to talk about as far as
well, what about the Lady Surfer? We haven't really touched
on her. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah. I thought she did a better job than the other Silver Surfer that we got.
Somebody from Rise of the Silver Surfer?
Yeah. I thought Rise of the Silver Surfer was kind of boring.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did like the chase better in Rise of the Silver Surfer with him and Johnny. I thought that, like, when you see him go through the building and come out the other side, like, that was like a poster shot. Like, even Johnny was like, dude, that is cool, you know. and when he was like gaining on him, he turns around, he catches him by the throat, and it takes him into space. So yeah, I thought the chase worked better, but as a character, I thought what is her name again?
Shala
something Bell, something
Julia Ball. Garner.
No, I'm done with the dead, but the character's name. They said her name something Ball.
Shala Bell.
Shala Bell. Right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, as a character, yeah, I thought her character was more not layered, but yeah, she was more of a character than he was in Rise of the Silver Surfer. So I'll agree with that.
Right, and to know that she had to make the same sacrifice for her kid and become the Silver Surfer for Galactus, so he can eat planets,
right,
and stuff, is just as horrifying too, because she's going through some trauma her own self. And now she's being like a puppet to him, to serve him, to take down other planets. And basically, if you think about it, you know how Thanos had that other little guy who does like the scheduling for him on what to do? It's kind of like she's basically in that spot.
Right.
In a sense.
Right.
But she's the one who just warns people, hey, look, Galactus is coming. And stuff,
hold,
and
it took hold, Johnny hold, like hold 10, your loved ones tight, you know.
Right, and it took Johnny like 10 records to put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the whole record thing with the record really. Player?
No, because it almost served no purpose. Like, you know, why do we need to know that? Like, it's almost like he was just doing that just to prove that she wasn't a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like that she wasn't evil or something. Like, I don't know. I just felt all that was unnecessary.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the whole record thing. Like, that's one thing I just didn't care for. I didn't care for that, and there was no reason to have it in there. And I get what they were trying to go for, but at the same time, though, he's someone that makes out with women. He's a womanizer. And stuff. So I felt like that was just like that was supposed to be like a Reed Richards moment of that, but he's primarily just focused. It's like, okay, you know what? Reed Richards is actually busy with baby duty, so we're just going to go on ahead and get this over to Johnny,
right?
To do this,
right?
Since he's busy with that because he's busy child proofing everything.
Yeah, well, even when Reed's designing the things to stop Galactus, right? So we're in the middle of right now. Conserving power, building these things up, and Johnny's listening to records. Sue, listen to this. Okay, why? Okay, I get it. She's not evil. Can we go on and save the world now?
Right. It kind of reminds me, I want someone to actually do this as like a meme, like have her say, hey, listen to this, and it's actually Metallica or something on the record.
Right.
But it just doesn't fit for me as for that part for Johnny, but I do like him as Johnny, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, then the whole, I like the fact that you have Ben and him teaming up to do the clobbering thing. Like, I don't like the line, but I like the fact that he's riding on Ben's back.
They were teaming up. I mean, yeah, it was a group effort when they did fight him, you know, because everybody did participate in it. So Reed did the thing where he was, I guess, his feeding tubes in his back.
Right.
And once you unlock it, it hurts him. And then Johnny blinded him, you know, and I did think that was funny when Galactus had Reed and he was stretching him like an old piece of gum, and he was like smiling while he was doing it, like he was like telling like, huh, like let's see how far I can stretch him. Yeah, so they all played their part, I guess, but Sue was the one that delivered the final blow, and then I knew it was coming also when Johnny was going to sacrifice himself. Because, like, they were setting that up for, like, the last half of the movie that, okay, Johnny's going to sacrifice himself, you know, to save Franklin. And then right before he does, the Lady Surfer comes and says, nope, I'm going to have this moment. And then she, you know, does what she does. And I said, yeah, I guess I kind of saw that coming.
Right. But still, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really good. I thought the pacing was fine. I didn't feel the runtime on it. It was entertaining. I laughed at, and I'm glad it wasn't too jokey. I'm glad that it wasn't full of jokes because it could have easily been that. And it took itself more serious.
Right. And it didn't feel like an Italian movie, even though we did have that post-credit scene with Doom, but because most MCU movies, like, okay, where's this going to tie in with the, it felt like it was its own thing. And you know, I said that earlier, it felt like, you know, the universe felt unique. It felt like it was its own thing. It could stand on its own. So you can watch this and not have seen previous MCU movies. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you have to be like, well, to watch this, watch Doctor Strange, then watch this one and watch that. No, you can watch this by itself on its own and still
and
get
that's
it.
That's what I appreciate with it.
Right.
Because normally I'll do like a rewatch, you know, of a certain movie because I love doing rewatches.
But right.
I was like, do I really want to do a rewatch of the first early 2000s, no, because then I'll be comparing from apple to oranges.
Right.
So exactly. I'm like, I'm going to go into this one fresh with a whole different mindset of like, hey, look, what we had in the early 2000s was good, but let's see what we have now.
Right. And also, I love that small little moment at the end where they're trying to put Franklin in the baby car seat and they even couldn't get it right. And Sue's like, you know, it almost felt like a sitcom almost. Like, you know, you watch a sitcom. You hear the laugh track in the background.
Right.
That's the only thing that was missing. So she's just sitting holding, like, would you look at these three guys? And then they're celebrating after they, bro, you're a father. You've been there. Like, those car seats can be tricky.
They're a pain in my butt.
Yeah.
You know what's sad? I had to get the damn maintenance guy that works with me who had, like, three babies.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Right. Can you help me?
Right. I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
Yeah, well, that's why I love that moment, bro, because it's like Reed's the smartest guy in the world. Ben just knocked out a whole bunch of pillars in the building. Johnny and, like, the three of them are struggling with this baby car seat, even though they just saved the world from Galactus. And the baby is struggling with the car seat. Yeah.
And it also looks – it reminds me of, like, NASCAR, like, pit stops, where it's like, okay, we got to hurry up, put the car seat in, and get the baby in there.
Right.
And that's what it reminded me of, is that like a pit crew, but it has a relatability for me, though, as a father, though, too, trying to put this car seat in. So I like that. But as far as the last scene where we actually see the animated TV series, I'm like, okay, It doesn't tie into anything, but it's cool to actually see because it makes me think of me sitting down on Saturday morning cartoons and eating my bowl of cereal and watching my favorite superheroes.
No, like, because like I said, I watched like all the Fantastic Four cartoons, bro. Like, so like that, especially that opening, it was almost like watching all of the content that I've consumed at one time. Like, it felt like a gumbo of all of them. The 60s cartoon, then they had the 70s cartoon where they introduced Herbie the Robot, you know what I'm saying? Because there was some copyright issue where they couldn't use Johnny Storm, so they had to use the robot instead. And then you had the 90s cartoon, you know? So it felt like all of that at the same time. And I'm a little kid all over again.
Me too. I enjoyed it. Let's see here. I wanted to ask you too, what did you think about the whole Ed Sullivan thing? Because I really like the introducing us as like an audience. Right. And he's standing up there and introducing us to the Fantastic Four and explaining the origin without having to show us anything. And it makes us not have to worry about reading a scroll, even though I love Superman.
Right,
but this just jumps us right in and establishes the Fantastic Four for who they are.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it because, I mean, we've seen so many superhero origin stories, you know, especially with something like the Fantastic Four. We've had four movies now that did the whole origin thing. It was like, okay, let's move on from that. So I like the fact that they used a montage in the Ed Sullivan style to introduce us back to that, because it was like, you know, entertaining. And yeah, I thought that was a good touch.
Me too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's everything I had wanted to cover as far as this goes, though. I mean, all I got to say is it's not a perfect movie, but it's a great movie. I enjoyed it. I'll probably wind up owning this on like Blu-ray 4K. Because I'm a physical media collector. This is definitely one that I would own. Same thing with Thunderbolts.
So would you say this is easily the best Fantastic Four movie ever made?
I would say it's next to the very first one in the early 2000s.
Okay.
If I'm going to be honest with you, I would put that on top of that.
Okay, because those movies get unnecessary hate, I feel like. I don't know. It just seems like it's easy. It's so, I guess, popular to hate on those films, but I didn't hate them, man. I loved the 2005 one. Well, I ain't gonna say I loved it, but I really did like it. Like, there's things I can pick apart about that movie, but as far as like the spirit, the essence of the Fantastic Four, like the casting and the way the characters were with each other, I loved all that. And then Rise of the Silver Surfer, I thought was very entertaining too, even though I had problems with that one as well. But I really dug those movies, man. I don't know why people hate them so much.
I don't either. I think it might be a generation thing, though, too, where it's like, you know, this is not my Fantastic Four. So, you know, it's not for me. So this is going to be my Fantastic Four that I'm growing up with now in the 2025 realm versus the early 2000s realm. Us as someone that grew up in the 80s, that's going to be our vibe is that.
Right.
You know, so yeah, really also feel like even though the 1960s look, of that kind of look that we had in this one also embodies this generation's in a sense with technology as well. Right. So we didn't really have a lot of technology in the early 2000s in a sense. When you look at it, we have more technology now versus back then. And to be honest with you, the 1960s look actually feels more like today's time in a sense, even though it's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, that retro future thing. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think even some of the effects from those 2000 movies kind of hold up. Like when Johnny goes supernova, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was like, yeah, so some of those effects still hold up. You know what I mean?
They really do. I love them.
But I tell you that the true test is going to come. See, I hope this movie is a success so we can get more Fantastic Four movies, because I know that a lot was riding on this to succeed, because if it didn't succeed, that will be the end of the Fantastic Four. And then, you know, Marvel's going to be like, damn, this movie flopped. Like, well, what are we going to do? So the fact that this is doing good, is getting good word of mouth, that hopefully it makes a lot of money. The real test is going to be Doctor Doom.
Second week.
No, not this. I'm just saying,
right,
can they get Doctor Doom right? Because the failure of the previous movies, the biggest failure of each of them is Doctor Doom.
Right. If you don't establish Doctor Doom the way he is, and have that snarkiness of Dr. Doom and that threatening level of who he is, you're going to lose people. If you don't have those characteristics, it's game over.
Yeah. Because what they did with him in the first movie, like, I did like the look. So he had the cloak, even though it was a trench coat, but he still had, like, the cloak or whatever. The mask was cool. But the whole thing about him making an organic metal being, I'm like, dude, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm turning into a metal Terminator or something. I'm like, that's not Dr. Doom. What are you doing? And then in Fan 4 Stick, where they made him some kind of computer virus or something like that, I said, what the hell? Yeah, man. Hey. So hopefully they could get Doom right, I feel like the Fantastic Four has a promising future, man.
I think so, too. I think this is actually going to be the home run for them that's going to be successful.
Right.
I think that this is going to be what sets them back on the map again. Mm-hmm. The real test is how it does on its second weekend.
Second week. It should do good because there's no competition. I think only the biggest movie comes out this week is The Naked Gun.
I don't think that Liam Neeson is going to be able to tackle on the Fantastic Four.
Nah. I think Fantastic Four has a good second week. I think it has a good third week because I think next week the biggest movie comes out is a movie called Weapons, which I'm definitely going to see.
I want to see that.
I've heard great things about that. So I think it should dominate the next, because that's like the last big movie to drop, like out of the three. You know, you had Jurassic World, you had Superman. So that's like the last of the big three. And I don't think there's nothing that's going to compete with it for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So
it should came out at a good time. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's already made like, let's see here. I already looked at the thing, $220 million already.
Worldwide? Okay.
That's just roughly $220 million.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million overseas. The movie, which caused at least $300 million to make and market worldwide, was on a pace to generate an additional $100 million overseas for a global opening total of roughly $220 million.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, it's all about the in-game. You know?
Right. No pun intended. Yeah.
But still, man, it's good to have you back on here again. We're going to have to do a weapons review when you go see it.
Yeah. Have you seen Together yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Ooh, I definitely want to hear what you think about that one. Okay. Right now, that's to me a horror movie of the year so far. But from what I'm hearing about Weapons, I think Weapons is probably going to take that spot. But, yeah, right now, Together, that's probably like that. That is this year's substance.
I'll put it okay, so way. my question is this. So if you could, let's talk about horror movies wise, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So I know that we reviewed Sinners. So where would you put that?
All right. Well, somebody asked me that. It was like, wait a minute, you forgot about Sinners. No, I did not forget about Sinners. I can't put Sinners in the category of horror, even though it's technically a horror movie, but Sinners is like the number one movie for me this year, period. Okay. But now, if you just talk about this, that box, that category of horror right now, to me, is right now it's Together.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, but Sinners is in the class all by itself.
Okay, I got you. You're separating the classes. I got you.
Right.
All right. But yeah, we're definitely gonna have to do a weapons review. I'm excited for that. I did a couple of trailer reactions for it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely interested in it. So, guys, so my question for you, did you guys like Fantastic Four First Steps? What did you guys think of it? If you haven't seen it yet, go on and check it out. Check out the first 30 minutes of this if you are just into non-spoilers. Check out the rest of it when you do see it. Go on and follow my good friend Rashad at Rashad Reviews. Rashad, do you have anything coming out as far as you want to tell anybody?
Right now, let's see. Well, I'm gonna check out The Naked Gun on Friday, so I should be having that review Friday as well. And then of course Weapons the week after that. But other than that, I'm just pretty much chilling this week.
Okay. Well, yeah. I will have Josh Prey on Tuesday. Him and I are gonna be reviewing The Naked Gun.
Mm.
And we're gonna talk about that. I did the review for the old classic Naked Gun. I did a rewatch review with that.
Nice.
But let me think. And then, of course, we have our Dexter after show that we're doing for Dexter Resurrection.
Mm.
We are recording that, and I'm going to be putting that up on Tuesdays. And that's going to be at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for you guys to enjoy. Check out the shorts that I dropped for that. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I will have Doom Generation coming on next month, and we're going to be reviewing Airborne. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about some Airborne next month.
Nice.
Thank you, man. So always until next time, guys. Have a great, safe night. Thank you so much, Rashad. I do appreciate you.
No doubt, man. Peace.
All right. Later, guys. Bye.